Vitamina D é bom pra você. Vai. Vitamina D é bom pra você. Vitamina D. Vitamina D.
Stay at home.
Vitamina D.
Eat
É bom
at
pra
home.
você.
Eat your own meals at
Vitamina D.
Ooh la la.
Vitamina
I'm not
D.
going out.
Abre a boca.
I am staying at home.
Vitamina D.
Don't go out.
É bom pra você.
Don't go out. Stay at home.
Vitamina D. Vitamina D.
Ooh la la.
Stay at home.
Vitamina D.
Lockdown.
Abre a boca.
Lockdown.
É bom pra você.
Lockdown.
Vitamina
Ooh
D.
La la. Ooh la la.
É bom pra você.
Radical Empathy, A Continuous Score, Act 9, The Mixtapes, is a 60-minute public sonic action brought to you by PDA.
1, 2, 3. A is for apples, B is for bush, C is for cake fest, D is for drugs, E is for eggplants, F is for fat, G is for goulash, H is for hash, I is for ice cream, J is for junk, K is for kimchi, that's a funny sound, L is for lemons, M is for mushrooms, N is for nashi pears, O is for orange, P is for potato, Q is for quesadilla, oh, I miss Mexican sitting in the north. R is for radish, S is for swam. That is in Swedish what you call a shroom.
Tomada 3, domingo 26 de abril 2020. Last Sunday, it was early evening when Jessica was putting Kaique to sleep while I was sitting on the sofa, changing sides every other YouTube news clip about COVID, both in Brazil and in Sweden. I wanted to change the topic, so I started searching from cooking videos, more directly fermenting ones.
Ooh la la.
During the week before, during the previous week, cheese making was one of the things that kept my mind at ease, or rather occupied with something
Ooh
else,
la la.
Other than necropolitics or virus control. By the way, shall we read Akila Mbembe Necropolitics together? Fermentation in jars was something I wanted to try for a while, as mentioned. The cheese was made and cured somewhat properly, or even over-cured. It was solid hard, and could be good to try it out with the next carbonara this week.
Ooh la la.
I've also been putting some time to make yogurts, but fermenting vegetables in jars wasn't something I've done apart from dropping once at a workshop with Andreas in his art and food course. And when trying to ferment blueberries in the week my son Kaiki was born,
Wrinkle-free laughter. This public sonic
person.
Call for action is brought to you by PDA. Are you surrounded by too many occasions to laugh, whether it is out of sheer joy, exasperation, or horror? And are you disinclined to undergo surgery but still wanting to deal with the deepening laugh lines and other facial wrinkles? Wrinkle-free laughing is a practice that is a non-surgical anti-aging treatment that allows you to laugh all you want without the guilt and worry about deepening the lines around the mouth and eyes.
On the picture,
when you feel an attack of the laughs, direct that laughter first to your eyes, opening them quite wide to form a saucer.
Vanilla peppers,
and with your mouth, do the same, making an ah,
originally from
as if you're about to say ha, ha, ha,
through a friend of mine.
If the laugh attack intensifies such that it can no longer be contained within the rounded eyes and mouth, direct the laughter either to the throat and or to the stomach while opening your mouth into a more elongated ah, as if you're about to yawn.
Ooh la la.
It's important to keep your mouth in a vertical oval
green chili, fresh dried oregano, fresh
and resist
thyme,
widening the mouth
heads,
into
pepper,
a horizontal E.
One bay leaf, water.
Ooh la la.
Preserving foods an uncontrollable was a big part of our culinary DNA.
Throw your head back
and so, with time, we slowly dabbled into fermentation, and we figured out that it was so much more than sauerkraut.
Ooh la la.
And the usual dill pickle and so on. And we started expanding on it, and each time we did that, we could see that it was giving us a lot to cook with and giving us a lot of new flavors. And so, at a certain point, we decided, let's take
ooh la
the
la
process of fermentation and simply
sour tomatoes,
pull it out
beef tomatoes, cucumber, red onions, garlic, green chilies, bell paprika, red, yellow, and green ones, all of them, those three. Limes, cherry tomatoes, beef tomatoes, cucumber, red onions, garlic, green chilies, bell paprika, red, yellow, and green ones, all of them, those three. Limes, salt, and carrots. Cherry tomatoes, beef tomatoes, cucumber, red onions, garlic, green chilies, bell paprika, red, yellow, and green ones, all of them, those three. Limes, salt, and carrots.
Ooh la la.
One with cucumber, plain with water and salt, and another one with garlic heads. Citron olive oil, peperoncino pepper, dried from the last visit to Venice.
Ooh la la.
Black pepper seeds, paprika, dried oregano.
And here,
fresh thyme, water and salt.
For our leafy friends.
Ooh la la.
On the smaller jar, I made a similar version of the above, but with less heat, since Jessica doesn't like so much pepper in her food. And yet, I'm yet to convince her of this funky, acidic project as well, so small steps to get there.
Chocolate.
This PSA is devoted to a story of Samik. Welcome, Samik.
Hello. I'm very happy to be here. I'm trying to get to Denmark from Krabstadt, and I have some very, very interesting views on the Nordic cuisine that I will share with you today. My father said to me, "Son, Europe is a continent of gluttons and gays, but you can have a good life there. You must know the way to European hearts is either through their stomachs or their asses." So I followed my father's advice and became a gay chef. My father didn't tell me, though, how tough the hygiene requirements are in Denmark. But I'm very, very determined to pursue my dreams and make my way to Copenhagen. Today I'm going to tell you about Samik's crispy roasted chickpeas in the oven, because chickpeas are also part of the Nordic cuisine. You take 500 grams of chickpeas and ask your uncle in Copenhagen to send you some. 2 tablespoons of thick olive oil, salt, and hot cayenne pepper. Soak your chickpeas in water and let them hang out in there for 2 to 3 days. When the chickpeas start softening up and the flesh becomes tender and swollen, one should see sprouts slowly erecting and tearing through the outer skin. Gently change the water while making sure not to scare the chickpeas. You can speak to them softly or caress them with care. On the 3rd day, preheat the oven to 230 centigrade. Drain the chickpeas and toss them with olive oil. Spread some glycerin or other lubricant on your hands so the oil doesn't stick to your fingers. Season to taste with salt and cayenne pepper. Spread evenly on a baking sheet and bake for 30 to 40 minutes, or until the chickpeas become crunchy, fluffy, and lovingly looking back at you. Total cooking time is approximately 3 days.
Crying, 01, ugly
thank
feelings.
You, thank you.
Bats and borders. Conditioning, conditional belonging. Eruptions and explosions. Family is so complicated. Feel good, fake happy news. Fix your charging issues. IRL, URL. It's okay not to be okay. Non-essential. Snot rockets. Use common sense, COVID-19. Comfort foods. Food as radical empathy. Good food responsibly.
Get a little louder with it.
Microaggressions. Red gold. Sugar coated.
Wrinkle-free laughter. Laugh all you want in a responsible anti-aging way.
Controlled substance, daily doses, disaster capitalism, evergreen, everyone is deserving of care, feeling great in a beard, moving backwards.
56 seconds to go.
Ha 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 ha! triggers. White fragility is a state in which even a minimum amount of racial stress becomes intolerable, triggering a range of defensive moves. These moves include the outward display of emotions such as anger, fear, and guilt, and behaviors such as argumentation, silence, and leaving the stress-inducing situation. These behaviors in turn function to reinstate white racial equilibrium. Racial stress results from an interruption to what is racially familiar. These interruptions can take a variety of forms and come from a range of sources, including that a white person's viewpoints come from a racialized frame of reference, objectivity. People of color talking directly about their racial perspectives. Challenge to white racial codes. People of color choosing not to protect the racial feelings of white people in regards to race. Challenge to white racial expectations and need entitlement to racial comfort. People of color not being willing to tell their stories or answer questions about their racial experience. Challenge to colonialist relations. A fellow white not providing agreement with one's interpretation. Challenge to white solidarity. Receiving feedback that one's behavior had a racist impact. Challenge to white liberalism. Suggesting that group membership is significant. Challenge to individualism. An acknowledgement that access is unequal between racial groups. Challenge to meritocracy. Being presented with a person of color in a position of leadership. Challenge to white authority.
I began to use the phrase in my work, white supremacist capitalist patriarchy, because I wanted to have some language that would actually remind us continually of the interlocking systems of domination that define our reality, and not to just have one thing be like, you know, gender is the important issue, race is the important issue. But for me, the use of that particular jargonistic phrase was a sort of shortcut way of saying all of these things actually are functioning simultaneously at all times in our lives. And that if I really want to understand what's happening to me right now at this moment in my life as a black female of a certain age, I won't be able to understand it if I'm only looking through the lens of race. I won't be able to understand it if I'm only looking through the lens of gender. I won't be able to understand it if I'm only looking at how white people see me.
This is Enola Bogogne, the director of Krapstadt Feminist Institute. And today I have a chanson. Ala bada la 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 lam la lam. Abo zo za zo zo zi za zo zoom. Abo zo zoom za ba zam zi ba zo za za bap. Azo ba zo zi za zo zam za zo. I've got the scent of feminism blues. I've got the scent of feminism blues. I've read the sex, but I just don't understand. I've got the scent of feminism blues. I've read the echo feminism blues. I think about the world and natural rights. I walk along the technological highway, but I don't understand you. You say in chapter 0, a world is in vertigo, and that I do understand what you mean. But when you go on to use so many, many words, I get the sense of feminism blues. You write about alienation, and I just don't understand how you can write the text that also alienates.
Trans women are real women. Trans women are real women.
Why is it important to argue who counts as a real woman?
I'm going to read the book of Deuteronomy from the Old Testament in the Christian Bible. And it's because it's basically a collection of sermons that Moses gave to the people of Israel after wandering the desert for many years.
Chapter 5 from the book of Deuteronomy.
Before they enter the promised land of Canaan. And I thought this was a way to think about public service announcements.
That you may learn them and keep and do them. The Lord our God has made a covenant with us in heaven. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day.
Rising sea levels, food insecurity, glacial retreat, extreme weather events, increasing levels of greenhouse gases, declining Arctic sea ice, lack of fresh water and clean air, wildfires, insect outbreaks and tree disease, mass migration, loss of biodiversity, global spread of infectious diseases. Do these things terrify you, or at least cause concern? Do you desire a world where non-human animals, plants, and trees can live without the impending threat of extinction? The voluntary human extinction movement has a solution for you. May we live long, fulfilling, but responsible lives, and then just die out. While some Homo sapiens aim to live environmentally friendly lifestyles, it's now evident that the biosphere of Earth cannot support our existence. We are simply too destructive. For example, current species are going extinct at rates 100 to 1,000 times faster than the typical rates of Earth's past. The 400 vertebrate species that went extinct in the last century should have taken about 800 to 10,000 years to disappear naturally. This allows us to understand that we are causing the Earth's sixth mass extinction event. A mass extinction is when the planet loses three-quarters of its species in a geologically short interval, and it's only happened five times in the past 540 million years. Hey, fellow Homo sapiens, we're going extinct anyway, but here and now, we have the power to save this planet and its other species from our wreckage by not sticking around too much longer. Join the voluntary human extinction movement now to learn more. May we live long, fulfilling, but responsible lives, and then just die out.
What is conversation of vegetables for you?
What is an organization?
Say that one more time, the word.
Andreas, you have to.
What is the normalization of fascism for you?
To
totally correct. Bajsnödig, yeah.
Bajsnödig.
What's the normalization of fascism for you?
Yeah, like bajs, like the poo, and nerded, like, you know, like, neither. Like. Bajsnödig.
Yeah.
I think about it all the time. Bajsnödig here.
Yeah. Yes, you can say you're bajsnödig, but that just means that you need to go and take a shit.
Like literally, or do you know? See, very little bajsnödig.
Do you feel scared, apathetic, vulnerable?
It's so bajsnödig of you to always bring that up, or you know.
Like, it's so bajsnödig here. That's how I've heard it used most.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah
so bajsnödig.
Exactly.
Why hasn't anyone ever said this to me? This is new to me. I'm very excited about using it.
Are you powerless?
Questions. What is the normalization of fascism for you? Do you feel scared, apathetic, vulnerable? Are you powerless? Does privilege prevent you from direct political engagement?
What
How can
is
radical
the normalization
empathy be
of fascism for you? Do you feel scared, apathetic, vulnerable? Are you powerless? Does privilege prevent you from direct political engagement? How can radical empathy be practiced to examine...
What is the normalization of fascism for you? Do you feel scared, apathetic, vulnerable? Are you powerless? Does privilege prevent you from direct political engagement? How can radical empathy be practiced to examine violence and hate?
You live in an apartment complex that is appreciated by some aficionados because it was once a clothing factory that was repurposed by a famous Danish architect. Apparently, a number of well-known local figures have lived in the complex, including a politician, some artists, and writers. What you like most about the apartment complex is the open inner garden that is accessible to everyone. Sometimes you have played badminton with a 10-year-old Luigi, who lives across the street but likes to come to this yard to play because there isn't a playground in the inner yard of the building he lives in. Most inner yards in Copenhagen are usually enclosed cubes of private lawn space inaccessible to outsiders. You live in a flat that is on a small, quiet road that is formed by rows of similar-looking buildings of the apartment complex. The quiet road has a strip in the middle that serves as a parking island for bicycles, motorcycles, and cars. Landscape architects have planted a row of magnolia and cherry trees to brighten up the parking island. The road isn't private, but it's usually quiet since it is mainly trafficked by those that live or are visiting the people living there, are visiting the apartment complex. You've been repairing a ceiling all day and are managing to return home for dinner. You are tired, but you quietly notice that it is no longer so dark and appreciate the seasonal changes. You park your bike in a place a little bit away from your front door because it's evening and nearly all the bike stands are full. You are shuffling along and vaguely notice another body on the street, so you step away, ensuring enough physical distance that has been recommended. Suddenly, you realize you're being addressed by that other body, and you look up. It takes a while for you to register what is being said, since it is in a language that you kind of understand, but not really unless you concentrate fully. You realize the other body is a man, roughly in his mid-50s, bespectacled and sporting a small mustache. He is audibly and visibly very upset. He says a barrage of things, some familiar and some newly minted racial slurs. For the exchange to occur, both bodies had slowed down, his and yours, for the delivery and reception of animus.
Let me ask you a question. Are you tired of all the polarization in politics? And do you just want to come together inside a big, firm ring of happiness, pleasure, and joy? Then join QAnus. In QAnus, we believe that the anus is a source for inspiration, well-being, joy, and criticality. And as a wishing well of equality, it pleasures transcends gender, class, sexuality, religion, ethnicity, and ideology. From the far end of the universe, our supreme leader Q presents us with the truth as bare, engulfed by the naked singularity inside the mothership of all anuses, the black hole of Gargantua.
In concert with Maggie Nelson, we are not interested in the hermeneutics or an erotics or a metaphorics of the anus. We are interested in ass-fucking. We are interested in the fact that the clitoris and the prostate, disguised as discrete buttons, sweep over the entire area like a manta ray, impossible to tell where its 8,000 nerves begin and end. We are interested in the fact that the human anus is one of the most inert parts of the body.
So keep in mind that we are all in intimate pluriversal contact through all these ass nerve endings. Where we go in the two, we go all. In the traffic jam of desire, we are leading you the way, so please come inside and join QAnus.
I do still have a problem with it. I think it's...
obsessing over, getting over. Open, pour, drink, wash, brush, change, sit. Stop thinking, push on button. Listen, stare, and stop. Stop waiting, stop looking at the clock. Stop checking, stop comparing. Stop regurgitating, stop expecting. Stop counting, stop thinking. Stop making associations, stop wagering. Stop making excuses, stop pacing, and pull self together.
To examine violence and hate. To examine violence and hate.
Can you all do it one more time?
Yeah.
And try to say it at the same time.
Sorry, my bad.
Should I be really sweaty?
To examine violence and hate.
Just take back off.
Pull open door for air. Pull down photos, pull out the mirror, pull a face, preferably a funny one. Pull away from habits, pull socks up. Pull the plug on thinking, pull the string in one's head. Pull over to stay in one piece, pull the other leg. Pull through things you can. Can sleep, can be hungry, can mop, can think of something and do it. Can begin again, can do things step by step, can talk, can forget, can understand, can judge, can comfort, can
the
forget, can tell oneself the worst is over. For comfort, must tell oneself the
not
worst is over.
Not to settle for what is convenient or shoddy, for the conventionally expected, nor what is merely safe. Some of you here perhaps are too young to remember, some of you are not, but during World War II, we would buy sealed plastic packets of white, uncolored margarine with a tiny little intense pellet of yellow coloring perched like a topaz just inside the clear skin of the bag. We would leave the margarine out for a while to soften, and then we would pinch the little pellet, breaking it inside the bag, releasing that rich yellowness into the soft, pale mass of the margarine. Then taking it very carefully in our hands, we would knead it very gently back and forth, over and over, until the color had spread throughout the whole pound of margarine, leaving it thoroughly colored. I find the erotic such a kernel within myself. When released from its intense and constrained pellet, it flows through and colors my life with a kind of energy that heightens and sensitizes and strengthens all my experience.
Being vulnerable in solidarity calls for empathy. Apathy creates normalization of fascism, insisting on vigilance when silence is complicity. This is the call to action.
We have been raised to fear the yes in ourselves, our deepest cravings. For the demands of our released expectations lead us inevitably into actions which will help bring our lives into accordance with our needs, with our knowledge, with our desires. And the fear of our deepest cravings will always keep them suspect and will also keep us docile and loyal and obedient.
Privilege walk questions.
And lead us to settle
one
for
minute
or to accept so
be
many
quiet,
facets
be
of
patient,
our
if you are right
take one thing at a time.
Take one step
stop
forward.
The mind. Stop wondering. Stop thinking about things
books in your
you
house,
don't want to know.
Take one step forward.
In response to Deborah Levy's
If You Have
things
Ever Been Spoken
I Don't
Over
Want to
Because
Know,
You Couldn't
2013.
Articulate Your Thoughts Fast Enough, take one step back. Have you ever left your country not of your free will? If so, take one step back. If you were ever uncomfortable about a joke relating to your ethnicity, religion, gender, disability, or sexual orientation, but felt too vulnerable to confront the situation, take one step back. If you have an invisible illness or disability, take one step back. If you feel good about how your identified culture is portrayed by the media, take one step forward. If you are a white male, take one step forward. If you have been profiled by someone else using stereotypes, take one step back. If anyone in your household has ever suffered from mental illness, take one step back.
In touch with the power of the erotic within ourselves and allowing that power to inform and to illuminate our actions upon the world around us, then we begin to be responsible to ourselves in the deepest sense. For as we begin to recognize our deepest feelings, we begin to give up of necessity being satisfied with suffering, or being satisfied with self-abnegation or with self-negation, and with the numbness which so often seems like their only alternative in this society. We empower ourselves to action. Our acts of against oppression then become integral within ourselves, becomes part of ourselves, motivated and empowered from within.
An appeal to humans, a message on behalf of Mangifera genus, belonging to the cashew family Anacardiaceae, otherwise known as mangoes. This public sonic call for action is brought to you by PDA. We mangoes originated in India over 4,000 years ago and are considered a sacred fruit where we come from. We spread gradually throughout Asia and then to the rest of the world, relying on you humans to transport us across the world. Our first carriers were zealous Buddhists that traveled across Southeast Asia, and it was the Persians that carried us across Western Asia, planting us in East Africa in the 10th century. The Portuguese brought us to Brazil in the 16th century, and from Brazil we spread throughout the Americas, getting to the United States in the 1800s. And we find ourselves popular and commonplace enough to be associated with your soon-to-be former president, the one who we have the unfortunate association with in online media as the Mango Mussolini, a grave and injurious tarnish on our reputation and honor. We understand you enjoy fleshy morsels that make us the most consumed fruit in the world. And as our boreal fairy godmothers, we provide you with more vitamin C and, as we mature, vitamin A as well. First, you put us on a pedestal, coining us as the king of fruit, describing our flavor as a mix of oranges, peaches, and pineapples, somewhat dubious associations we find. And then you whack us down again, associating our beautiful hue, or the hue of any orange, to be associated with the former President of the United States, Trump. We find your unnecessary exhortation to be as ridiculous as the insult is injurious. So, next time you see us in a supermarket or a fruitmonger near you, understand that you are consuming an ancient and revered Anacardiacea, and that we have had a mutual relation of consumption and dissemination, an age-old relation that we want to honor, a mutual dependence, and hope that you can reappreciate our continued availability for your consumption.
In the 1968 work Acción del Encierro, Confinement Action, by Graciela Carnevale, I'm proposing an interesting intersection of decoloniality, effective strategies, and an experimental notion of institutional pedagogy. The work was part of the Ciclo di Arte Experimental in Rosario, Argentina, that was organized by the collective Grupo de Arte de Vanguardia de Rosario, the Rosario Avant-Garde Art Group, of which Carnevale was part of from its beginning in 1965 until they disbanded in 1968. Using the visiting of an art space as a metaphor, Acción del Encierro was a constructed situation, an attempt at a radical pedagogy, one might suggest. On the night of the opening, in the gallery space with big glass windows from floor to ceiling facing the street and covered with posters, an artist's stealthy abandon locking the door to the premises on her way out resulted in the audience finding themselves confined in the art space, without any instructions and bereaved of their freedom. In this amalgamous situation, morphing metaphor into politics, Carnevale wanted to subject the visitor to a forced space for intense learning. Who in the audience would first succumb to the effects of the asphyxiating situation and break free from the constructed metaphorical confinement of oppression by smashing its glass constraints and get out? At the time of the enactment of Acción del Encierro, Argentinians had found themselves in a tumultuous couple of years. Less than 2 years prior to the event, General Juan Carlos Onganía Carballo had risen to power in the country through a coup d'etat, removing the publicly elected Arturo Illia from power, resulting in times of unrest. These were marked by incidents where the newly self-proclaimed authority violently suppressing revolting students and professors in Buenos Aires was only one of many examples. Carnevale's work needs to be viewed in this specific context and builds on the confining and suppressive state of affairs that the new regime imposed on the country through its position in power. By trapping the audience inside the gallery space, Carnevale wanted to subject the visitors to a metaphorical version of the confining and oppressive powers exercised by the Onganía regime in real life. Her hope was that the situation would produce effects that, when being transmitted between the captive audience, would amalgamate into a situation, a collective force triggering emancipatory action in their situation, where they would smash their way out of confinement and break free, the artist becoming a director of behavior of sorts, or as Grant Chester puts it, she will administer a kind of homeopathic remedy in which the patient is treated with a diluted version of a substance that would otherwise cause illness. Hence, the discomfort created by the physical confinement in the gallery will produce a heightened awareness of the far more damaging repression imposed by the Onganía regime. As a homeopath, or as a director of people's implicit actions, are not the only way to look at Carnevale's role in this situation. One could rather see her auditioning for the role of an emancipatory pedagogue, exposing the audience to a situation of intense learning. But will she succeed? In the best of worlds, the audience would succumb to the confining situation in the gallery space and seek liberation. They would learn from this situation and discover the revolutionary potential in rising up against oppression, so be it physical confinement or political dictatorship. After the visit to the gallery, they would see clearly their real situation in society and rise up against the Onganía regime in the same manner as when they were smashing their way out of the gallery space. Carnevale had strategically placed a friend among the visitors in the gallery space to monitor the upcoming turn of events after she exited through the back door and locked it behind her. Unfortunately, the effective accumulation inside the confinement didn't culminate in a collective dismantling of the master's house. Instead, a passerby picked up on the somewhat distressed look on the audience faces inside and decided to take matters into his own hands, break the window and free the captives from the outside, much to the infuriation and disappointment of her friend monitoring this social experiment.
Wait! You have to wait. Wait. We have to wait.
Mic check. What the fuck?
What the fuck?
This public sonic action is brought to you by PDA in collaboration with WTF, Waiting Time Facilitation, supported by the Swedish Migration Board. WTF is a state service that provides support for you who are seeking asylum, applying for visa, residency, or citizenship in Sweden. As you will be waiting approximately 6 months to 6 years for an answer, we will help you in a correct and sustainable practice of patience. It is important for the Swedish society that you maintain a positive attitude during the waiting time. In order to facilitate that, we offer a range of courses, including Swedish for immigrants, Swedish norms and values, Swedish and social orientation, choir and Swedish training, guidance for active leisure, digital skills, human rights abroad, a consumer's guide to Swedish brands, foraging and fermentation, wine tasting for beginners, experimental watercolor, friendship yoga, survival skills in Swedish nature, cooking with pork and other local ingredients, landscape photography, what is democracy, improv performance art, entrepreneurship for all, meditation for mental health. Check out our website, wtf.migrationboard.se, for many other courses that will facilitate your waiting time. Practice mindful patience in the Swedish way. Brought to you by Waiting Time Facilitation, supported by the Swedish Migration Board.
Actually, the title of this poem, as I always like to announce, is A Litany for Survival number 42. Only so that we should keep in our consciousness the fact that survival is not a one-time decision. It's not a one-time act. It's something that goes on and on and on. And you make a commitment in the same way I make a commitment to myself. I make a commitment to my working. I make a commitment to my survival and to being able to see it wherever it occurs. A Litany for Survival. For those of us who live at the shoreline, standing upon the constant edges of decision, crucial and alone, for those of us who cannot indulge the passing dreams of choice, who love in doorways coming and going in the hours between dawn, looking inward and outward at once, before, and after, seeking a now that can breed futures like bread in our children's mouths so their dreams will not reflect the deaths of ours. For those of us who were imprinted with fear like a faint line in the center of our foreheads, learning to be afraid with our mother's milk, for by this weapon, this illusion of some safety to be found, the heavy-footed hoped to silence us. For all of us, this instant and this triumph, we were never meant to survive. So when the sun rises, we are afraid it might not remain. When the sun sets, we are afraid it might not rise in the morning. When our stomachs are full, we are afraid of indigestion. When our stomachs are empty, we are afraid we may never eat again. loved when we are loved. We are afraid love will vanish when we are alone. We are afraid love will never return. And when we speak, we are afraid our words will not be heard nor welcomed. But when we are silent, we are still afraid. So, it is better to speak, remembering
to be, and more ashamed to survive. At the same time.
Being vulnerable.
Calls for empathy.
In solidarity.
To be confirmed.
Calls for empathy. Apathy creates normalization of fashion.
Enough is enough.
Insisting on
say
vigilance.
Like you mean that, Andres.
When silence is complicity.
At what point do you say enough is enough?
This is a call to action.
At what point do you say enough is enough?
This cheesy thing like, and next week, like tune in again on dun dun dun, where, you know, the second mixtape is played, or we don't do that, right?
Are you asking because you were interested in doing it?
No, no. But I like the one with us trying to schedule. That's funny. That's a kind of a cliffhanger.
I don't know.
Dun dun dun.
Yeah, I don't have the sound in my head. I don't know what it is.
Dun.
But it would be interesting to.
Yeah.
Dun. It's like three notes or something, right? I mean, it's like some kind of off-key notes is what this thing that Andreas did. Dun dun dun, or dun 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 dun, dun 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 dun. That's something else. No. Yeah.
Is the James Bond? Is that a cliffhanger? Like dun dun dun, and then it like, because there's so many James Bonds that come.
Like the never-ending cliffhanger.
Maybe that's more like the theme or so. I'm thinking about this when they like, there's this specific sound where they say, and next week there will be like blah 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 blah.